Welcome back to the Youth Football Podcast. Robbie McDonald, my co-host, you're back with me after a long, long hiatus. Robbie, what has been happening in the interim period?
Just obviously took a break over the Christmas. We went home, saw the family, had a good little time, nice time. Got a lot of football in, a lot of darts in. So I say I had a good break, but happy to be back. How about yourself, Adam?
Rumour has it that you like turned off all your social media, made your profile picture blank, went to go and find yourself. Is that true?
Absolutely not. I would be lost without my social media, Adam.
Brutal. Anyway, if anyone joining us for the first time, this is episode 16 of the Youth Football Podcast, where we discuss all things grassroots football. I'm your host, Adam Binney, joined by my co-host, Robbie McDonald, who will be the brunt of many of the jokes across this podcast and beyond. And today we have two very special guest reporters with us, Ramsey Banks and Daniel McLeod, otherwise known as Tubesy. Boys, let's start. Tubesy, I think you've had a bit of a howler recently.
I feel like every time I'm on this podcast, you're telling me I've had a bit of a howler, and I don't really like the reputation that's creating around me. I think I seem like the sort of bumbling joke of the Youth Football Scotland family, but I did indeed. You know, it's got to be said. I wouldn't say off my own terms. It was one of those days where, you know, I actually sound like I'm in a press conference as I'm telling this tale of woe, but it was one of those days where immediately you kind of go in and you're like, oh, you know, I kind of feel a shift in the air tonight. You know, I feel there's something eerie going on here in the streets of Maryhill, where I was sent to cover a game between Ashfield and Kirkintilloch Rob Roy. And, you know, it was maybe a few weeks ago at the Firhill Complex, and I was striding up, and it was one of those. It was
quite we used to play your lot there, GCU. Used to pull their pants down on a regular basis, but terrible pitch.
It's not probably one of my favourite grounds around the Glasgow area. You know, you're kind of going in, and as soon as you see that Lidl, there's a bit of a sense of dread. You're kind of there, and you feel, man, it's not the real Firhill Stadium, which is just 100, like maybe 200 metres away. You feel a bit like you're hanging out with the less cool younger brother. But I went in, and, you know, I'm there and I'm like, right, okay, let's do this. You know, I've not done a game for a while, obviously. A bit of a hiatus for all of us at YFS. Go in and I'm like, right, okay, let's do this. Stamp my authority early on in the game, you know. Meet the coaches, you know, meet the ref, get the team sheets. You know, Robbie's been hassling me, saying, you know, you've got to do your pre-match piece to camera. So I was like, okay, you know, I've written my script. I'm already ready to go. And it's like walking into a ghost town. There's absolutely no one inside. I'm like, wow, this is weird. You know, it's quite quiet, but, you know, I'm used to people hiding or avoiding me. So I just kind of went about my business and went out on there, you know, pretty much everywhere, every shop I walk into, you know, any bar, restaurant, cafe, it's like I've got a force field around me. And, you know, you'd be surprised how someone can empty a room so quickly with just a wee one-liner. But anyway, I digress. I went out onto the pitch because, you know, usually at this point, I was maybe, you know, half an hour before the game. So go out onto the pitch. Usually there's probably training or something before it. There was like four just like middle-aged guys just having a kick about. And I was like, well, you know, I don't really think that's what I've been sent to cover, but, you know, by all means, I'll do a wee interview post-match if needed. And there was just no one in sight for like a good 5 minutes. And I was like, this, you know, this is a good level. Teams warm up here and they certainly don't show up to games with a minute to go. So I, you know, get in touch with my trusted advisors, Robbie McDonald, Robbie Forsyth and Stuart Storer. So I'm there. I'm like, guys, are you sure this is on? Like, do we know what's going on here? And with about 5 minutes to kick off, I'm told, oh, we've sent you to the wrong place, Tubes. You know, I couldn't believe it. I was like, how have you sent me to the wrong place? But like, we've been talking about this game like all week. You know, I've been told, you know, in no uncertain terms, like what I've got to get done. I'm not left with any illusions. I'm like, got to be here this time, you know, speak to so-and-so. So I know what I've got to do. Like, oh, you know, just don't even say it. You know, it said it, they had literally on Twitter, they'd posted where the game was and somehow still I'd been...
Where was it meant to be?
So in my defense, In our defence, on the website, on the official league website, it said the Fir Hill Complex.
You should know that that's not gospel. Come on.
I did say that on the website, but I think, you know, with the sort of experience that we're dealing with at this level, I thought it was naive at best, Adam. I thought it was a little bit silly. So I was actually in the wrong end of Glasgow, and not to give too much away, but like I'd stay in Denniston, which is just a wee bit at the start of the East End.
Don't tell me Ashfield were playing at Stepford.
Ashfield was playing at Stepford, so I'm in Mary Hill.
That's their ground, Robbie. That's where they play every game.
Why did they say Fir Hill then?
So it's actually on the other end of Glasgow, and you know, it's like a few minutes till kickoff, and I'm like, man, like I've paid for my subway ticket and everything, you know, it's not cheap these days, it's a cost of living crisis, like, but you know, I could still go home, I could still, you know, I can recover this night, but I was told, no, you're getting an Uber, you're going to Stepford. I was like, okay, you know, I've got absolutely no room, no power to stand up for myself in these situations, so I took.
You gave
like
go,
many situations in my life, the pants were pulled down. So I just have to take it.
I'll take it up with HR next week. Disgraceful treatment of an employee.
I'm glad once again Adam stepped in for me. So I had to get the Uber. A very good guy, good Glasgow native called Archibald took me to Stepford, and he was like, "Wow, man, that's a bit of a shambles, eh?" and all that. So he gets me there. I'm there about 25 minutes into the game. By which point it's 2-1 for Ashfield. So, you know, you've missed 3 goals. So immediately I'm thinking, you know, I went in and I was like, oh, what's the score? Oh, 2-1 Ashfield. I'm like, right, I don't know how I'm gonna worm my way around this in the match report, having not seen any of the goals. But I was told, you know, as a journalist, you're gonna encounter challenges. It's on you to source the information. I was like, right, this is an interesting challenge, you know, without any cameras or anything to go off. I'm going to do a piece to camera summarizing the first half, which I've not seen. And then I'm going to do a piece to camera summarizing the whole game, and I've missed all the important events. So I spoke to the gaffer on the way in anyway, and I was like, I managed to get the goal scorers' names and that off him. He's all like, oh, you know, I can't believe they've sent you over there. What sort of operation are they running? You know, we've invested so much, you know, we had really rolled out the red carpet for you. You've come in half an hour into the game. This is ridiculous. I want my money back. But he says, you know, like, we've been playing at Stepford for like 10 years. Like, I can't believe you got sent to Fir Hill.
I was like,
you have no idea what I'm going to deal with. So keep in mind, this is an absolutely freezing cold night. I've turned up late and I'm just trying to catch up on the game. At halftime, I managed to, you know, recover. I get the team sheets. I speak to the coaches. You know, I make sure it's kind of understood, you know, what we do. The general match day routine, you've always got to make sure everyone knows what's on. So the game goes on. Ashfield sort of ended up dominating the game in the end. There was some good football. Ashfield are 4-1 up. I finally got a bit of knowledge that I can write about, albeit not much. And the most important thing was that there was good football on show. But unfortunately, it did bring the game to an end. And, you know, they're shutting. I managed to get an interview with one of the coaches, you know, talked up his team who'd played really well in the night, the Ashfield coach. And, you know, fair play to him for doing the interview. But, you know, none of the players were really up for anything. And unfortunately, as I was filming the piece to camera, I nearly got locked in the facility and the lights turned off. So I just basically, I had to be honest. I was like, you know, lads, I've left it all out on the park, much like the Rob Roy and the Ashfield boys, but we've not come away with 3 points on this occasion.
Robbie McDonald, have you got anything to say for yourself here?
Yeah, I'd like to make a formal apology to Daniel Chutes McLeod and just assure him and the rest of the volunteers that I will never trust the official league websites again.
Well, boys, I think for any new listeners, they will be struggling with Chubsy and Robbie McDonald's accents if they aren't already used to it. I give you up, Pelters. Ramsey, yours isn't much better. So I'm now going to allow Ramsey to have a go at my hometown, because I believe you, before we get into the football, Ramsey's got something to say about the great FK.
Well, I was in Falkirk the other day, wasn't I? I was covering Hutchison Vale against St. Jenta Juveniles in the Scottish Youth Cup. It was a semi-final under 13 level. But it was a rough day for me because I had had a late night, as Robbie McDonald can attest to.
Ooh, that is so unprofessional.
Shocking.
And Tubes.
You're a later night than me.
And Tubes goes from zero to hero here because he says, oh, get Sal's Pizza, I'll sort you right out. I was like, right, I need to be there early for this game. Actually, went really well. It was a really, really good game, but we'll get onto it later. But after, I'm like, you know what? I'll take Tubes up on this. So I go into Sal's Pizza, and I'm not joking. The best pizza you'll ever eat. It's not in Italy. It's not in New York. It's in Falkirk.
In Falkirk.
Unbelievable.
Have you ever sampled this establishment, Adam?
I've never even heard of it.
What?
Do you know what? See, to be fair, I'm not a Falkirk boy. I had an FK postcode growing up, but there's a big difference between Denny and Falkirk. I'm 15 minutes away from that horrendous settlement, but I haven't had the pleasure of tasting a Sal's Pizza before. When I saw this in the running order, I'm not going to lie, I thought Ramsey was going to come and have a go at Falkirk for the pizza. But do you know what? Fair enough. If you think it's good, then fair enough. We'll take that one. That's 1-0 Falkirk. The Highlands and the Islands still yet to provide anything of note since Robbie McDonald's birth to this date. So
born in Edinburgh.
So you were.
Nonsense, man.
Oh well, that part of the chat is ruined. Right, well, we've been away for a while, lads. Since we've been away, there's been a couple of managers that haven't lasted very long. Since our last podcast, Derek Adams and Neil Warnock have taken jobs in the Scottish Premiership and have left them. What on earth is going on? Robbie, Ramsey, you seem like the best people to ask about what on earth happened with Derek Adams. Please enlighten us.
So with Derek's third spell at the club, it actually started really well. It was two wins and a draw in the first three. Then we got by St Mirren, and he's like, you know, it happens. You know, it's not going to be all smooth sailing. Losing the 97th minute against Dundee at home. And you're like, right, that's a real kicker. But, you know, vibes are reasonably good. He just comes out in the post-match presser and absolutely tears Scottish football to bits. Which, obviously, you know, we're very defensive over our game, right?
He needs to start watching Syngenta Hutchie Vale more often and then he'll be fine.
But no, you know, we're very defensive over our game, and rightly so. So he gets slated for this, and his pressers don't get better over the course of his 79 days of tenure in his third spell, as he went on to imply that he regretted taking the job for the third time. And then it all came to a head in his final game, where we lost 5-0 against Motherwell. Robbie, me and you were there with our good friend Pete. It was one of the most depressing games of football I've ever seen, and he was gone the next evening.
Brutal, brutal. What a man.
To be fair to Derek Adams, he didn't have... Dylan Smith was injured the entire
time. Oh, of course.
We can't really expect him.
Yeah,
we can't. It was never going to go as well for him as it did for Malky, given that caveat. But maybe he should have given a try to some of the other youth boys.
Do you know what? As a journalist, you love someone like Derek Adams who can come in and say all sorts and you know, keep the papers busy for a few days. So I was gutted when he left. And then Neil Warnock arrives in Scotland. Neil Warnock arrives. And he has been an absolute hero. But Chibsy, he's gone. I'm heartbroken.
I think we're all heartbroken. I was genuinely, like, I'm not an Aberdeen fan in the slightest, but I was genuinely so excited when I heard that Neil Warnock was coming to Scottish football, because he's just, I would genuinely say that he's probably the most box office manager there's ever been. Like, ever. Like, I'm not saying he's the best manager there's ever been, but like, anyone who's watched the like 1 hour long Warnock documentary, and it's, I don't know, it's like the 2004-05 Sheffield United season, there's so many like sound bites that have come out of that just fuel my conversations on a day-to-day basis. And Warnock is just, he was so box office. Even in the 33 days, I found it amazing because he didn't win any league games. And like Aberdeen were just kind of free falling into a relegation battle. And after the games, he would just kind of like, he would analyze it like he wasn't actually the manager of the team. And like, he didn't have it. It was like he had no control of what was going on. He'd like, they'd lose a game. It's like, you know, I just thought we were really soft. It's like, I don't know where this team's going, to be honest. Absolutely. That's really reassuring if you're the manager of the team.
You know, the
one who trains them, who sets them out in this way. It was unbelievable.
I love them. I had the pleasure of interviewing Neil Warnock twice. In the second interview, lads, he tried to sign me for Aberdeen.
Was that you? You look like a footballer.
this is genuinely what happened, right? So he's walked into the press room. Aberdeen have just been beaten 2-0 by Kelly, but well beaten, battered by Kelly. You know, a great part of that game was you had the Kelly fans shouting, you're effing S. And then the Aberdeen fans joining in, we are effing. I'm not going to say the words. You get the gist. I mean, it was awful. They're all chanting sack the board at the end of it. It's like Aberdeen fans raging. But Warnock comes in, bouncing, and he's like, yeah, my players got bullied today. Bullied. They're too nice. The players are too nice. So I was like, oh, well, there's no transfer window. How do you go about fixing that? And he looks at me and goes, you should have played today, son. What? So I was confused. And he goes, you look like you could play for Aberdeen. I can't remember exactly what he said. But the gist of it was that I looked really nice so that I could play in his Aberdeen team. But I thought, because he's just been talking about how he needs nasty players and tough players, I thought he was calling me ugly. So he's picked me out and said, you should play for me. I thought he was trying to say that I'm scary. So he said that, and anyway, he turns to Craig Swan, great guy, one of the paper journalists, and looks at Craig Swan and goes like that, we need you in our team. Look at him snarling at me. So you've had Neil Warnock run into a press conference after getting beat by Kilmarnock, and he's genuinely 5 minutes away from lining up with two journalists at centre half in his next game.
Could you imagine Davy Martindale rolling up to Pittodrie and seeing you lining up against his Livingston side? It would probably restore his faith in humanity. That
he wouldn't put out 11 players, he'd put out 11 cones, and I would be finished. Okay, delighted to say we're joined by a very special guest today, Craig Ferguson. Craig is going to be walking 1,000 miles with the Proclaimers, maybe not, from Hamden to Munich in time for our opening fixture against Germany, the first game of the Euros. All of the funds raised will be going towards men's mental health charity, Brother in Arms. Right, Craig, why on earth are you doing this? Why did you think this is a good idea?
You know what, mate? I ask myself the same question every day since announcing it, but nah, I think we can all agree that the potential here to raise funds for an amazing charity is just, you know, through the roof. And, well, maybe the idea of that big cold pint at the end when I get to Germany is, you know, pushing me over the edge as well. But nah, honestly, what started as a silly idea just grew arms and legs. And before I knew it, I was down the rabbit hole of telling myself, you really need to do this, don't you? You really need to do this. And now I want nothing more to complete this challenge. So honestly, super, super excited about it.
How on earth did this come about though? So you're saying, oh, it's grown arms and legs. Is that just one day you just sat down and thought, oh, do you know what? I quite fancy walking to Germany. Like, how does that come into your mind?
It's funny you ask that, mate. It literally started in a call similar to this. I was on holiday and I phoned one of my good friends. We're on the phone and we're just chatting away and stuff. He's asking how I'm doing. He's like, oh, well, I've got you here. How are we going to get to Germany next year? And I was like, well, I don't know. I've not even thought about it, mate. I was like, it's miles away. And he was like, I tell you what. He was like, we should walk. And I just, you know, I tell you what, boys, my exact words were, Struan, shut up. That is the most idea I've ever heard, right? And then it sat with me. And you know how when someone says something, I was just kept thinking about it. And I was like, do you know what, mate? That actually, oh, imagine if we actually did. I was like, imagine. Now, I will just butt in and say, it is since then Struan who came up with that idea. He can't do the walk. He's got pre-arrangements with exams and stuff like that. So I messaged him and I said, look, before I go live with this and say, tell the world what I'm doing, are you fine if I go and do it solo? And he went, mate, I would love nothing more. So yeah, it literally just from that stupid wee call, I decided that it is now going to be my challenge to walk the 1,000 miles, mate, and to raise the money for Brothers in Arms. So yeah.
That is incredible. That is, mate. What's the route like? So you'll be leaving from here. Where do you go? How long is it going to take? Talk us through the plan.
Nah, not a problem at all. So pretty much all going well. I say all going well, you know, fingers crossed, boys. But yeah, I start at Hampden 4th of May. So it's a Saturday. I'm up nice and early. And the route will take 37 days. Yeah, I know. My legs are tired even just saying
How
that.
How did you work that out? Was it just a case of like, oh, I'm going to stick this in Google Maps and then it's like, oh, it says 37 days.
So yeah, I know, like obviously the very initial planning of it was like Google Maps, Hampden, Munich, like, but obviously I had to, you know, whittle it down a wee bit to get it a bit more precise. So I know where I'm stopping every night and stuff like that. So with the 37 days, you know, I'm starting and stopping in like a sort of named location every day and night. So it's not a case of, you know, I hit a mileage target and go, oh, right, that's me in the middle of nowhere. I'm staying here for the night, you know. I'll get to a place every night. So the mileage itself changes. On average, you know, you're talking probably about 25 miles a day, which is heavy, heavy going. But, you know, with the donations in mind and, you know, the cause that I'm doing it for, just driving me along the full way, you know, that will be used as motivation for sure, boys.
Have you got a ticket? Are you going to the game?
No, I don't even have a ticket yet.
Oh,
but, geez. They should get you on the pitch if you're putting that much effort in, to be honest. It's crazy.
I think this is the exact definition of being down bad for Scotland. Like, I'm literally... I'm literally walking across 6 countries to go to a game that I don't even have a ticket for. But look, I'm hopeful. I'm an absolute bliss optimist. So fingers crossed, we'll see what comes up. If anyone can sort me out along the way, then we'll see what happens. But nah, as we speak, no ticket.
We need to get the SFA involved.
I think we can start a YFS campaign. You know, if anyone out there deserves a ticket, it's Greg.
Yeah, let's get the SFA involved, see what they can do. So 6 countries, what is it? Scotland, England, Channel to France, up from there?
So not quite. So the route will take me from Scotland, where I then walk east across to Newcastle, from Newcastle down to Hull, and then the only time where I won't be walking, boys, because I haven't quite mastered the ability to walk on water yet.
Oh, hopeless. You're not getting a donation now.
I go to Hull to then get the ferry to Rotterdam. From Rotterdam, we're down through Belgium into Luxembourg, and then the final stretch across to Munich. So the 6 countries: Scotland, England, the Netherlands, Belgium, Luxembourg, and Germany.
Have you had anyone special give you any messages of support? Anything like that yet?
So obviously since, you know, starting announcing something like this, my phone has just been going wild. And well, boys, the target that we set out to hit was 10,000. As of today, we have hit 50% of that, so £5,000 raised before even taking a step, which is, you know, I was taken aback. To be honest, the support has just been overwhelming. But yeah, I've had a few messages back and forth with some people, so we'll see what happens. Like, I'm not going to reveal too much, but let's just say the next few months and the start of the challenge are going to be exciting, definitely.
Oh, we need to get, right, this is it. I've got it in mind. We need to get the SFA involved. We need to get the Proclaimers holding hands with you in Munich as you walk in.
Question is, boys, the question is, do I get up and sing karaoke with them if they're sending me off, or is that just a set to...
No, that's absolutely spot on. It depends. Yeah, of course. It's got to be done. In fact, I would even go as get you on at the opening ceremony for the entire tournament.
Yeah. Surely you can lead the Scotland team out as well.
Well, that's it. I would need to have maybe a pint or two, but to warm up the vocals, because everyone...
Well,
my question is...
Oh, go for it.
Sorry,
Randy.
Adam. If we win the Euros, will you walk all the way back?
Right, there you go. What a question. I'll put this on record now. It is absolutely sounding like hell right now. Nothing sounds like a worse idea than to walk back after walking there. But if Scotland even get to the semi-finals, I will walk back as well, right? I'll tell my work that I will not be back and I will walk back. Yeah, that
I was going to say, actually, you're off for 37 days. What is work saying about this?
Yeah, well, luckily I work in an amazing cafe, mate. I work full time there and I basically was out with my boss. We were at a concert and I said, look, mate, I've got a mental idea. I was like, yeah. Pulled him in. Well, honestly, mate, it's the best place ever. Dan was like, go for it, mate. Honestly, you need to do this. So get given the time off and so I've pretty much been told just to come back when the job's done.
So if you get to the semis, you walk back?
Well, yeah, mate, you've got that on record now.
You'll be staggering back. I refuse to believe you'll be in any fit state to walk if we get to the semi final of the year.
I might need to rope someone in to help me along the way, maybe just back, but
John again.
Aye, I'm up for that.
Why did you choose to do this for Brother in Arms?
Yeah, mate, good question. Obviously, when I was thinking of the challenge itself and, like I said, the potential for the fundraising, I thought, well, what do I want to raise the funds for? Of course, that's the question that I asked myself. And, well, for it being the Euros and, you know, you're talking men's mental health straight away came to mind. I feel like it's one of the most prevalent issues in, you know, UK and worldwide society right now is young men taking their lives. And honestly, it saddens me so much. And I thought, with this being a sort of challenge that revolves around football and stuff like that, and young men, like I said, there was no charity that fit everything that I wanted more than Brothers in Arms, you know, local Scottish charity who aim in preventing male suicide here in Scotland. So I want to see that the money that we can all raise collectively will make a difference. And the guys completely assured me of that. So they've been nothing but amazing and supportive the full way. So I've now just made it my goal to make as much money as possible for such a great cause.
Brilliant. We need to get you to 10,000. So how can anyone listening to this help out and donate?
Yeah, mate, absolutely. Well, there is a Just Giving page and the links to all of that have been open now. They're in the bio of all my socials. So it's CraigFerguson_1 on Instagram and TikTok. You can go on there, click the wee link in my bio and go and donate. But yeah, Just Giving as well. I would walk 1,000 miles for men's mental health.
Absolutely fantastic. I'm inspired. At some point there, I was like, should I jump in and volunteer to do it with them? But I remember I've got a flight from Newcastle to Munich, so I'll be waving as
well. Yeah.
That's true.
I'll be in Newcastle at some point, so I might even see you overhead, man.
I'll be waving from the luxury of economy class at Lufthansa or whatever it is that I'm flying. Anyone else going?
I am indeed. I'm going via London.
So, Ramsey?
Unfortunately not, mate. Gutted.
Not a real fan. Jamesy?
I've been unable to secure anything yet, but, you know, I wouldn't rule it out. I have my ways. I might walk with Craig. I enjoy a hike in the Proclaimers, so I don't see any reason why not, to be honest. I was just wondering, what's the longest like stint you've got to do walking?
Yeah, of course. So I have actually factored in rest days, just because, you know, for a challenge like this, the worst thing that you could do is say, oh, I'm doing this and then fail, you know, so early on. So I want to make it as achievable as possible. I think the biggest day in terms of miles covered will be 31 miles. Pretty tough going that case of walking for at least, you know, 12, 13 hours, which will be tough, but I think I might even have a wee rest day just after that. So I'll get to put my feet up after that one, mate.
What are you like lugging with you? Have you got like a backpack with all of your stuff?
It's funny because I've been speaking to loads and loads of people about this, and you know, some people are under the impression that I'll have like a van driving beside me with a big crew and like six people, and I'm like, let's just slow our rolls here, troops. I'm a little 20-year-old from Paisley here. I'll be doing the whole thing, living out of a backpack with my Scotland top and my kilt on. So yeah, it's very much a solo mission. All I'll have with me is some clothes, my kilt and a backpack and a tent in the backpack, you know, that sort of thing. But obviously I'm not going to be stupid about it. I know the stuff that I need to bring, but we're going to do it, boys. I'll see you in Germany. 100%.
No, yes, Craig, we will see you in Munich. Thank you very much for coming on and sharing your story. Remember, if any listeners would like to donate to Craig's walking 1,000 miles for men's mental health for the charity Brother in Arms, make sure to head over to Craig's social, Craig_1 Instagram and TikTok. Head over there, click the link in his bio, and you can donate. Craig, thank you very much again for coming on, mate.
Thank you, boys. Cheers. Thank you very much.
Right, well, boys, we've got international break coming up next week, which means all the kids are back in action as well. The 19s, 21s squads have all been, you know, in fact, has the 21s been out? Is that out yet?
I never noticed the 21s.
I don't think so.
No, it is. The 21 squad is out, actually. I saw that the other day. It's the 21 squad's out. So I was looking at the 21 squad and the 19s, so 21 men and 19s men the other day, comparing it. And by the way, the under-19s have an absolute super team. Have you seen it?
Oh, it's unbelievable.
Lennon Miller in there. You think,
ridiculous.
Yeah, absolute super team. Lennon Miller and David Watson, middle of the park. Scotland under-19s. That is two seasoned professionals now. Boys that have, it must be about a calendar year now, they've been regular starters, or regular players, should I say, in the first teams at Motherwell and Kilmarnock, respectively. I think they'd be feeling really hard done by for not being involved in the 21 squad, though.
I would definitely say so. You know, we're talking about regular players, and, you know, obviously for under-19 players, it's just amazing for them to even be playing regular minutes. But these guys, you know, Watson and Miller, they're probably two of the real standout players in the Kilmarnock and Motherwell teams, you'd have to say. I mean, it seems like every game this season I've seen them, they've been the ones that I've picked out and been so impressed by. And you are, you know, you hate to put the pressure on guys, but you do see them and you're like, I don't see any reason why they couldn't go on to become full internationals in the next few years. So I don't understand how they're not involved with the 21s, but I couldn't possibly speculate.
Not to show my bias towards sort of teams outside the old firm, and obviously they produce great player, but it's good to see players coming from clubs like, you know, Motherwell, Kilmarnock, etc. as well.
No, absolutely. I mean, there aren't many, you know, Rangers or Celtic players in that squad when you look at it. I mean, if you go through the squad, of course, Bailey Rice is in it, is at Rangers. He's had first team minutes for Rangers earlier this season. Bobby Wales is on loan at Alloa just now. He has first team minutes this season for Kilmarnock. Charlie MacArthur plays for Newcastle United, massive club. Daniel Kelly came off the bench and scored against Dundee at Celtic Park the other week for Celtic's first team. David Watson plays near enough every week for Kilmarnock in the first team. Dylan Reid was playing first team football at St Mirren for a long time before getting a move to Crystal Palace, massive club. There's Johnny Emerson, Newcastle United, big club. Lennon Miller, of course, we know all about Lennon Miller, plays every week for Motherwell. I would say he's their best player. You've got Louis Jackson there, Manchester United, massive club. Macaulay Tate, Hearts, plays semi-regularly off the bench for Hearts. Who else have we got in here? Rory Whittaker has got plenty of first-team minutes this year for Hibs. Rory Wilson's at Aston Villa, massive club. Rory Mahady, Leeds United, massive club. I've left out so many names here. Ryan Oney, who we spoke about on here before, had first-team minutes for lots of first team minutes for Hamilton Accies before signing for Sheffield United. I don't see how this under-19s team doesn't just go on and just win the World Cup or something.
Well, you know, there's always hope. You know, it does give you so much faith, though, for the future of Scottish football. It seems like there's so many good players being produced right now. I mean, Adam, you just reeled off the names from the list. But, I mean, I'm a Hibs supporter. I've seen Rory Whittaker play this season. And for me, you know, Rory's confidence in the first team has been amazing. He's a guy, when he's playing in that team, he's the sort of character who's 16 years old. And, you know, I don't know what yous were doing at 16, but when I was 16, I was not the confident man you might see today. Rory Whittaker's on there and he's shouting. He's keeping senior professionals in line who've had hundreds and hundreds of appearances, and he's shouting at them, telling them what to do. And I honestly say this, and it's not like a cliche or anything, every single game he played for Hibs, I felt that he was getting better and more confident. And I think it's that exposure to senior football, which is really good for the teams outside the Old Firm, and it's something that they've got to be focusing on.
Yeah, well, it should be hopefully a successful 19s group going forward for the next couple of years, and that, you know, the kind of knock-on effect of that into 21s and the men's A squad from there onwards. Robbie, I think you can give us a little bit of an update on the under 16 men's side.
Yeah, that's the under 16 men were just over in Cyprus for the friendly UEFA development tournament that they tend to have these days. Stuart Glennie's side unfortunately fell to defeat in their first game against Romania, but they bounced back and finished their trips with two wins. Got a 1-0 win over Cyprus with the young Rangers striker Oliver Goodbrand scoring in the first half to win that match. And then they finished the tournament with a fantastic 4-1 victory over Norway. Hayden Borland and Jamie Hislop both scored in the first half before Fletcher Boyd, who's a really exciting prospect from Aberdeen, managed to get a double in the second half.
Yeah, Fletcher Boyd attracting a little bit of transfer interest, Ramsey.
Fletcher Boyd, he's the one attracting the interest from Arsenal, isn't he?
Yes, mm-hmm. Arsenal.
Yeah, that's it's obviously good to see him doing well for Scotland's youth level. So hopefully not too much pressure for a young man. I've never personally seen him play, but he seems like a very good player, and I'm sure he's, you know, performing that well. He seems to have a very good head in the shoulders. So yeah, delighted for him, you know, turning out for his country at youth level must be an incredible feeling. And yeah, hopefully Aberdeen fans will be hoping they'll see him in first team colours for them pretty soon.
Yeah,
it was just last summer that they sold that Lewis Pirrie boy to Leeds United, wasn't it? So they're obviously doing something right in that youth team if they're managing to generate so much interest from down south.
Warnock effect, baby. It's all him.
I'm sure he had a great impact on that.
It's all him. 33 days in charge.
The 19 girls were also a development tournament, weren't they, Robbie?
Yeah, they began their version of this tournament today, and they got a very decent point. They drew 1-1 with Portugal, fell behind early, but Celtic.
What do you mean very decent, Robbie? Very, very decent. That makes no sense. It's either decent or it's not.
They had a decent point.
Honestly, is this what they're teaching you at Cali, boys? Jesus, come on.
Don't besmirch the good name of Glasgow Caledonian, mate.
They had a distinctly decent
one
with Portugal. Celtic's May English through Scotland level. We won't hold our second name against her. But then two shootout saves from Hibs' Rowena Armitage sealed the victory for Scotland on penalties. So that's a decent start for them in the group, and they will play Albania on Wednesday.
Yeah, a decent, not a very decent start.
Can't get out of my head.
So it's all going well on the international front. For now, we also had a fantastic reporter out at Scottish Youth Cup semi-final between Rangers and Dundee United last week. We had our man Aaron Chowdhury there. So before we have a little talk about the game, let's hear from Aaron himself to tell us all about it.
Full time here at the Rangers training ground. This full time score 1-1, but on penalties, Rangers winning 4-2. A goal on the edge of the first half coming to an end, scored by Forbes after a drop ball after a scrappy corner, is punished by the Dundee United man to make it 1-0. Second half, Rangers come out the trap and a great goal from Edie, who scored from a penalty after taken down in the box, led to a very tight second half, which ended up going to penalties, ended up being 4-2 to Rangers as they make their trip to Hampden.
Yes, Tuesday, good result for Rangers.
A wonderful result for Rangers. And, you know, at youth level, it really does seem like Rangers are starting to push on a bit more now. And it is kind of testament to the work that's being done there. It sounded like a really good game from the sense of what Aaron was saying. You know, three finals in a row. So I'm sure they're all going to be very excited. I think, you know, for Rangers, the young players, it's so much pressure to be at a club like that with, you know, all eyes on you. And I think, you know, so many kids in Scotland dream of playing for one of the two big football institutions. So it's the sort of things these lads are going to remember forever. So full credit to them.
Yeah. Robbie, I think you were there before in 2022 when they beat Hearts 2-1 in the final. It was 6-5 final after extra time against Celtic last year. 2019, they beat Celtic 3-2 in the final. They've got a great record in the final of this competition. So we'll keep an eye out for the final. I'm sure we'll have another budding reporter there. Great job from Aaron. He also wrote a fantastic match report. So if you want to hear more about that game, you can read that over on the YFS website. Okay, now time for our bread and butter. Let's talk about grassroots football in Scotland.
So yeah, fantastic first semi-final in the Scottish Youth Cup. It was a brilliant match report from Aaron, so check that out. But the next game isn't actually till the 15th of March, where Aberdeen will play Ayr United. And from there, Rangers will find out their fate and see who they will be playing in that all-important tie at Hampden Park. But out with the Scottish Youth Cup, we also had another Scottish Cup going on, didn't we, Ramsey? The under-13 Grassroots Scottish Cup semi-final.
Yep. And when I tell you, like, this was a great game of football. It was absolutely unbelievable. So first of all, it was at Falkirk Stadium. I can imagine it'll be great for the boys, especially of that age, 13 and under, to play at a stadium like that. And
they're all fueled up on pizza as well. So they're
yeah. What place sells pizza? I genuinely will go back, but anyway.
You're so welcome.
Yeah, I know. Cheers, Tubes. But it was such a good game of football. Obviously, you know, a big crowd of family and friends. Very, very loud, great atmosphere. And yeah, all the boys on both teams, Syngenta and Hutchie, took the chance with both hands. It was actually so Hutchie got the win, but it was a comeback victory because Syngenta got the lead in the first half. So Hutchie had a good bit of pressure. Lewis Isdale in the Syngenta goal made a good pair of saves. He had a very, very good game. I did a match report. I gave him the man of the match for Syngenta. Very, very good saves. And then Syngenta went up the other end. And when I tell you, what a screamer. So Oliver Gray, it was a one-on-one save and it sort of bounced out to Oscar Green in Syngenta colours number, I think we're number 17. And it was like Scott McTominay against Manchester City a few years ago from like halfway into the half, just one touch, bang, into the net. Just absolutely unbelievable. And I respected his commitment to the celebration as well, because it obviously Falkirk have an astral pitch and he didn't care. He did a knee slide.
That is a brave young man.
It is. Yeah. Oscar, if you're listening, respect, mate. That was unbelievable. Yeah, it was a nice moment for Syngenta. They were absolutely, yeah, they were on top of the world. And they did go on to put in a really good performance, despite unfortunately coming out on the wrong end of it. But Hutchie did really, really well to come back. In the second half, there was quite a lot of the second half was fought in the midfield, and it wasn't until like I'd want to say the 70-minute mark that Hutchison got their equaliser. It was Rory Cameron who got two goals. So this first goal was unbelievable. Like the standard of football in this game, I'm not exaggerating because I'm on this podcast. I want, like, if you're listening, I genuinely want you to know how good this game of football was. So it was like Hutchie coming to the final third and all of a sudden it's just this one touch passing. And I'm not saying one touch lightly. I genuinely mean one touch. It was from one man to the next, to the next, to the next. And eventually it slipped through to Rory Cameron, who it's just... He was wearing the number 9 and he lived up to it because it was a proper striker's finish, bottom right corner, cool as you like, and they were back on level terms. And their second goal was very, very good as well. It was Regan Howison was just in front of the centre circle. He floated this ball like Tony Cruz. It was unbelievable. Over the top of the defense, and Cameron got his second goal. He got his head onto it and lobbed it over the goalkeeper. It was another excellent striker's finish. But this pass from this boy Regan, Oh my God, I wish you boys were there. Maybe like there was a big camera at the game. I hope it's up somewhere because all the boys that played deserve it. Everyone played really well. Unbelievable pass. Just outrageous. There was so much play in this game that the professionals would have been proud of. And then in the closing minutes of the match, Hutchison, they drew a penalty. So Rory Cameron had a chance to complete his hat-trick and obviously wrap up the game. The unluckiest thing that can happen to a penalty taker happened. It was such a well-struck penalty. It was such a good penalty. It hit the inside of the right post, bounced across to the inside of the left post, and bounced out.
That's stinking.
I could not believe what I was seeing. To be fair, it was thankful for Hutchie that they were ahead because you'd be gutted if you needed the goal there. And it bounced out, but it was unbelievable. I did an interview with their entire team after the match. I was like, right, they've won, so it's not a painful moment. I can ask them about this. Unbelievable. And he scored the two goals as well. He was brilliant. I gave him man of the match for Hutchie because he like very, very good young player. Finishing excellent, obviously, as I've said. Link up play, unbelievable. Another player I thought was very good, just quickly, the left back for St. Jenta. Obviously, in these match reports, we do magic moment for St. Jenta. This kid, Finlay Bigger, he was wearing the number 3, and he had this moment where he takes it in for heavy pressure. Just this little casual bit of footwork that took him away from like two players before playing pass forward, cam as you like. Honestly, there were so many great moments from all these kids that I can't mention them all, but yeah, huge round of applause to everyone playing in it. Everyone at the game was really lovely as well. The coach as well gave me the team sheets, no bother. I was filming pitch side, which is always a bit of a, like when there's people watching you film, it's always a little bit of a scary experience. But everyone was lovely. It was just a really good day. And obviously, I'll just mention a little bit about the future. So Hutchison will face Rossvale in the final. I don't actually know when that match is going to take place, but I'm sure there'll be a YFS reporter at it, and it's bound to be a good one. I'm a bit jealous of whoever's going to be there because I'm sure those two teams will put on a barnstormer of a final.
You'll need to get yourself booked in for that one, Ramsey.
Yeah, well, I don't know when it is. I should. Yeah.
We'll work it out. Hutchison Vale are a club that are obviously very well known around the youth football scene, and they've produced a lot of brilliant strikers over the years. I believe Jason Cummings, Derek Rarden, Lee Griffiths, these are players that you'll be very familiar with, Tubes.
It seems like almost every player I looked up to as a kid came through the Hutchie Vale youth ranks at one point. You know, I remember, it was maybe Euro 2016 or something, and Alfred Finn Bogason was banging in goals for Iceland. And as a young lad, he actually played for Hutchison Vale. His dad was a dock worker in Leith, I believe. And it was incredible. You know, you're seeing like a full starting 11 of internationals in the then, like, you know, current day game. That had all come through Hutchie. You know, Darren Fletcher came through there himself, who's obviously, you know, probably one of the top Scottish players that's been produced in the last 50 years, you'd have to say. So it's an incredible club. You know, I think it's so special that you can have this junior team in the youth football scene that's just constantly got this conveyor belt of talent coming through and just producing these top players. And it's just so grassroots, you know. Everything now, you always think about the top academies and all the work that's going on there. But Hutchie just seems to have this ability to find players and get the best out of them, get them playing. And, you know, like Riordan, O'Connor, you know, all these like top players for like Hibs and Hearts that, like, you know, I really looked up to growing up seem to come from there. And that's going to be infectious for future generations. You know, if you can see that this club's been able to produce the talent before, obviously they're going to attract more and more. So nothing but respect for what goes on there.
Yeah, it's an absolutely brilliant, brilliant club. Raft of good strikers coming through from them. Ramsey, will Rory Cameron be the next one? I know it's early days, but
I tell you what, based on that performance, obviously we're not in the habit of putting loads of pressure on these young kids under 13, but I tell you what, he was very, very, very good.
Yeah, I was brilliant, Ramsey. I know that. Like, I was getting the sense when you were messaging me from the game, I was really getting the sense of excitement and how much you were enjoying the game and how good a game it was. But it was really when you sent through that interview and you could just see how excited those players were. They're going to be right up for this cup final, aren't they?
Oh, absolutely. I've not seen Rossvale play at this age level, but yeah, that'll be. I know they're a very, very well known grassroots club as well. That'll be a really, really good one. The Hutchie boys were so excited. Obviously, after the game, all the parents came down. It was a really nice moment. Everyone running to their friends and family. It was just lovely to see. Really, just a really good vibe on the day. Obviously, commiserations to St. Gentle, who obviously put their all into it. To be fair, you can expect really good things from their team in the near future because they put on a good show as well. Oh, I just want to say again, Oscar Green, that finish was disgusting.
No, brilliant show in there at the Falkirk Stadium. But it wasn't just cup action this weekend. There was also plenty league games taking place. Tubes, you're at one of them between Rossvale Caledonia and Bullock Eastfield.
I was indeed. Rossvale, obviously Ramsey mentioned there. I actually think I might have seen the team that could be in that final play. I did watch Rossvale under 13s earlier in the season. They were a brilliant team, you know, a lot of good work. It's a really well-run club, Rossvale. Before I'd even talk about the game, you know, they really seemed like they just managed to bring together really good squads. And, you know, the first thing I'd like to say about the game, because, you know, I'm a Leo Isoch, you know, I'm a Stornoway boy, and that means that I'm automatically a very negative person. It was probably one of the coldest events I've experienced in my life. It was, you know, there were my quiff, you know, there were icicles coming out of it, but it was fortunately well worth it because it was a fantastic game of football. There were 8 goals in it, and it seems like grassroots games are just way better than professional games for whatever reason, because you so rarely would see a 6-2 result in the professional game. But, you know, I thought both teams, you know, I always think at this level, there's always a real intent to play nice football. You know, both teams really seem to be putting the pressure on. Rossvale, you know, kind of blew them away early on. You know, I think Lewis Sterling got 2 in like the first 15 minutes. It was another boy, Peter Hetherington, who was absolutely brilliant. You know, there was, you know, they were getting at them in the channels. It was constant pressure. It was really intelligent striker play, I would say, from them. It's those that maybe, you know, it might go unnoticed sometimes, but it's like when they're always making these runs, that's how you manage to pounce on rebounds and things like that. But no, I've really enjoyed the game. You know, I interviewed 2 boys, Luke McMurray and Herman Burhan, and Herman was fantastic. He was in like sort of right centre-back position. And so often, you know, defenders in these games can go unnoticed when there's 8 goals. But, you know, some of the challenges he was putting in, you know, managing to get across, you know, he seemed like a really intelligent player, but also on, you know, he had a lot of energy. He was managing to kind of get up and push forward from like a right back position, but then the next minute he'd be stopping a counter attack. So I was really impressed with him. And, you know, I'd have to put a word in as well for Balloch Eastfield, because in that second half they really made a game of it. You know, it can get to 3-0 in these sort of games and you're a bit worried. You're like, oh, you know, I'd hate to see a team go and take a hiding, you know. As a player who's taken so many in my lifetime, I would hate to see anyone else subjected to it. So I was really, you know, I really wanted them to make a game of it. And, you know, straight off the bat from halftime, Josh Vickery, their striker, he goes and absolutely pings one in. You know, it wasn't like a distant strike, but it was kind of like played, the through ball got played to him, really nice ball, and he just blasted it hard and low off the post and in. It's one of those, it's just such a striker's goal. It's so underrated. I really enjoyed that. They got another goal from a corner, and I was like, oh my goodness, you know, Rossvale Stanbul part 2, you know, real ones know. But, you know, it ended up being a really good game. But, you know, Rossvale kind of, they did maybe run away with it a wee bit in the end. They were really good. And, you know, I think there was that determination from them. Balloch put in an absolute shift, but Rossvale, they are actually going for the title in that league. They're up against Brayhead. I think they're 3 points behind, but they've got a game in hand. So it was like, it looks like a really exciting title race. And obviously I spoke to a couple of boys after the game, and you know, like it's quite funny at this level because people are always still saying, like, you know, game by game. It's a bit like speaking to Jordan Henderson and these guys sometimes, but you could see it in their eyes, you know, and they did, you know, I loved it. They were honest with me. They're like, yeah, you know, we want to win the title, and, you know, full credit to them. You know, I would hate to, you know, go and say, oh, let's hope they do, and, you know, get all of Brayhead sending me all sorts of abuse. But, you know, I hope it's a really good title race, and I hope that, you know, the good work that's being done there continues.
And you've got a little soft spot for them, don't you?
For Rossvale, I would say I do. You know, I've covered a couple of games there, and, you know, I've always been treated well by the people there, which makes such a difference. You know, Luke, one of the boys I interviewed, I spoke to his parents at halftime, and, you know, they were just really sound. And, you know, it seems like a club, you know, where people really pull together. They always play good football, and they just seem, you know, they're really open to having, you know, Youth Football Scotland be involved, which is, you know, such a big help in these occasions. And they've obviously, you know, they've got very exciting things ahead that we'll touch on later.
Yeah, I can corroborate just quickly. I've been up there for, I think I saw the 16s play. Yeah. Great, great people. I think it was two other coaches I interviewed at the end, and yeah, lovely people you couldn't meet.
It makes such a difference in these. You know, it's probably the things people don't think about with YFS. You know, obviously it's all about the players and, you know, promoting the game. But for us going in, you know, we're trying to get as good an experience we can too, and to have people who are there and they show you that respect and they're just so open and welcoming. From minute one, makes a world of difference, and it means our coverage is way better too.
Fantastic game there, Tubes. Thank you for a glowing match report. Both of these boys will have match reports on the YFS website that you can go and have a look at if you're wanting a bit more detail on these games. Brilliant that you got to go to one of those Scottish Cup semi-final matches. Ramsey, they're coming thick and fast. Next Saturday, we've got two more. The under-18s Scottish Cup, we'll see Benburb play against Edinburgh United at Broadwood. And straight after that game, also at Broadwood, will be Stirling Albion versus Sunderland Struth at under-14s level. And then on Sunday, Edinburgh City come up against Lincarty. So plenty more games for us all to get excited for and hopefully be able to discuss in future weeks.